The world systems only offer vanities and lies, as we hear in this opening comment from Mike McIntosh.
But what you have from God is your time and your energy and your whole being. That you give that to God. And if it's something in the physical realm, that's great. He'll repay you back. It's not that he needs it. He's trying to break you loose from the things of this world so that his kingdom will be number one and the things that happen in this world will not affect you because you're not plugged into the systems that are vanity and lies.
And I'll stand up and shout and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Joining us for the Friday edition of Chapter and Verse, the Mike McIntosh, founding pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship in San Diego, California. We're going to continue with part two of his lesson titled, The Words of Agur. Not all are called to be pastors or evangelists, yet we are all called to live out our faith. We've all been given a measure of talent at something, and we can either use it for ourselves and the world, or we can use it for the glory of God to bless those around us. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." More great wisdom is ahead from the pages of Scripture. So now let's join Mike as we pick up in Proverbs chapter 30 on today's edition of Chapter and Verse.
The Lord is so powerful and so wonderful, and without the knowledge of the Lord, we don't know what the future is, and we don't even really know what our past is truly about because everything's been revived. Revisionists have come in and changed even our own history. So you can see and hear this man saying, really, you want to think you're smart, you don't know God, you're worse than an animal, because I am like that. So the name of the sun, it's interesting that way back here, way before Jesus was ever brought forth, they were already talking about the Son of God. Isn't that interesting? And yet, when David had sinned, and the Lord said, the penalty for your sin will be that you're going to lose this baby that Bathsheba is going to have. And Bathsheba lost her firstborn and then ends up as the one, if Lemuel is really the nickname for Solomon, then she, from her heart, this woman that committed adultery with Solomon's dad, and the scriptures tell us it was the sin of David, never calls it the sin of Bathsheba, but calls it the sin of David. She sits down with old Lemuel. It's not good for kings to drink, and watch out for the chicks, because she was probably seeing in her son some of the weaknesses that David had that got them in trouble. And you'll remember that David fasted and prayed while that child was alive, and the word came to him from the prophet that the baby had died. And David went and took a bath and cleaned himself up and put on clothes. And then all of his servants got upset with him and said, hey, we don't dig this. What do you think you're doing? While the baby's alive, you're fasting and you're weeping and praying and crying, and now the baby's dead. You get happy and you change your clothes and you take a bath and you get refreshed. Now you want to eat and drink. And David said, you know, the boy cannot come to me, but the day comes that I shall go to the boy. So you see, David already knew about eternal life and he already knew where that little baby was. So I'm sure that somehow in all of his doings with God, Jesus was around. And he's been around since the very beginning, in the beginning, Elohim. So this guy admits we're worse intelligently than animals without the knowledge of God. And then in verse 7, 8, and 9, he has a thought here. Two things I've required of you. So what are these two things? You remember the young rich ruler, there's only one thing Jesus required of him? You lack one thing. What is it, Master? What good Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? He said, well, honor your mother and your father and keep the commandments. He says, I've done all that from my youth on up. And then Jesus said to him, well, you do lack one thing. Wouldn't it be amazing if you knew tonight there's only one thing that you're doing wrong? There's only one thing wrong about you? Wow, I think that rich kid would say, well, whatever you say, that's it. And then Jesus said, sell all your goods, give your money away to the poor, pick up your cross and follow me. And it says that the man went away very sorrowful because he had much goods. The things of this world were more important to him than eternal life. So he looked like he was a sharp dude. talking to Jesus about spiritual things, but it wasn't in his heart to have it. So what does it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? For what can a man pay for his own soul? I mean, what can you pay for your soul? There's nothing. And we give it away so cheaply. So two things I have required of you this day. What are these two things? I'd like to know what they are. He says, deny me not either one of these things before I die. I'd like to see these things taken care of before I die. So what are they? Number one, remove far from me vanity and lies. Well, that's a good statement if you stop and think of that. Vanity, vanity, we're going to see next week in Ecclesiastes. All is vanity. The whole world is vanity, Solomon says in a depressed state. Actually, the book of Ecclesiastes could be looked like from a humanist point of view, and maybe not good for Bible doctrine, because we see a guy that's kind of down and he's ragging on the things of the Lord a little bit and things aren't going for him very well. But vanity. Get vanity out of your life. Self-absorption. Just get it out. And then lies. Get them out of my lives and get vain people and liars out of my circle of friends and influence. I don't need it in my life from the outside as an influence, nor do I need it inside. So he says these two things. And you may want to just think right now and write on the palm of your hand or the back of your hand two things that you'd like out of your life. Or you may want to write on a piece of paper two things you want out of the person's life sitting next to you and just show them. But I mean, think of that. That's an easy way to start, isn't it? We all want to change overnight, but what if you just say, well, there's these two things. God, if you could remove these two things, let's work on these. And it may take 6 months or a year or a week or a day or an hour, but God will do it, and you don't have to do it all at one time. What's the second thing? Give me neither poverty nor riches. I don't want to be in abject poverty and be poor, nor do I want to be wealthy. I don't want either one. I don't want poverty or riches. So feed me with food convenient for me. Now, this is along the thinking of St. Paul. He had said to one of the churches, I thank you for the offering that you took up and set aside for my coming. It's not that I need your offering, but that fruit will abound to your account. That your giving to the Lord's work gives you eternal returns. There is no drop in the returns of the Lord. 100 times here on earth, eternal life to come. So when you get out of this body and go to heaven, there's an account up there waiting for you. It may be a pup tent and a 1942 Hudson or something, but others of you, you know, you don't have much here, but you're going to just be trillionaires when you get to heaven because of how you've invested in his kingdom. So Paul said, it's not that I need the money, it's because I want fruit to abound to your account, because I have learned to live to be either abased or to abound, to have or not to have. So to say that I'm really on top of the world because I have, he said, I've learned that's not true. But to be down doesn't mean that I'm out of it either. So this is what he's saying. Two things. Take vanity and lies out, and don't give me too much or too little. And why? Number one, if I have too much, and we've all seen this with wealthy people, lest I be full and deny the Lord. And Jesus said, oh, how hard it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus said that, and he's the one that lets us in. So it's just a stumbler. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. So this question, this statement is really wisdom. If I get too much, I'll get so consumed with either managing it or spending it that I'll forget all about things of the Lord, and I can't make it to church, can't go to the Bible study, can't be humble because I'm better than everybody else because I have more than everybody else. So the attitude gets changed. So that's reason number one. Now, number two, and then I say, who is the Lord, that I lose sight of what it was all about? Or if I become poor, lest I be poor, and then I start stealing, and I take the name of the Lord my God in vain. So then if I don't have enough, I become a crook, or I get bitter. And how often we get bitter when finances are shaken, you know? We shake our fist at God. Why would you do this? You know, God had nothing to do with it. And Jesus said, hey, smarten up, Pete. I want you to go down. Are we supposed to pay our taxes? Go down to the lake there, and you'll find a fish. And open its mouth, and that fish will answer your question. And you know the story. Peter went down to the lake, and he's a professional fisherman by trade. His dad taught him. He was called into the ministry on the job at the Sea of Galilee. And Peter walks down to the sea, and there's a fish. Out of all the fish, how many fish comes right up to a fisherman? They're ducking fishermen. And the Lord already knew where that fish was, and he just said, go over there and blow his mind, would you? And that fish understood the Creator was speaking to him. When Peter catches that fish and opens his mouth, there's a coin inside of it, enough to pay his taxes. And he brings it back to Jesus, and he doesn't say, wow, how'd you do that? I've only caught fish, but could you show me where this school of fish is that I could catch them with money already in it? You know? But it was, wow. And he said, whose inscription is on that coin? And Peter looked at it and said, why, it's Caesar's. And then Jesus said, well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto God what is God's. You see, that coin is just like yours with George Washington on the nickel or Abraham Lincoln on the penny. It's Caesar's. That goes to Caesar. But what you have from God is your time and your energy and your whole being. That you give that to God. And if it's something in the physical realm, that's great. He'll repay you back. It's not that he needs it. He's trying to break you loose from the things of this world so that his kingdom will be number one and the things that happen in this world will not affect you because you're not plugged in to the systems that are vanity and lies. So he tells him, remove the vanity, remove the lies, don't give me too little, but on the other hand, Lord, please don't give me too much. Verse 10 through 14 is another encapsulated thought. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curses you and you be found guilty. I'd like you to underline this. There is a generation, because you're going to see this several times. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Would you read the next verse with me? There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. So, what's he saying? First of all, he's saying, don't embarrass the servant in front of his master, and don't embarrass the master by blasting his servant, because then you make the master look like he is a bad human resource development person. And if you tattle on the servant, then you make the servant look bad, and everybody's going to try to save face. So use wisdom. So then he says there's these generations. It could be one generation, but first of all, in verse 11, one that's against his parents, the home life is a mess. Secondly, there's a generation that are very self-centered and very consumerism oriented, and in their own eyes, they're perfect, and it's the other generation that's the problem. Their eyelids are lifted up. They're always looking for more, 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 more. Then there's the generation that they're just angry and they chew up anything, teeth like swords, their jaw like knives, and they have no concern for their fellow man. They devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. So four insights to a generation. These insights look a little bit like this generation, don't they? When you stop and think of it. But it is interesting how history repeats itself because he's talking about problems that are problems today. I think it's sinful of all of our generations that we lose respect. So what are these problems of the generation? Well, number one talks about mouthing off to mom and dad, sassing, talking back, disrespecting parents, which is the only commandment says you'll be killed for doing. Fornication and sexual immorality says is the only sin that you commit against your own self. Because once you have linked with another body, that is always etched into your memory banks. And that's why people have a problem forgetting their past lovers and situations. He said this is a sin you do against your own body. So their error of that first generation, you'll notice there, is the misuse of their mouth and the disrespect for their elders. That's a dangerous thing, to not respect the elders. The second one is that they're self-centered and self-righteous. They're looking inward. They're not concerned about what's going on around them, which makes them blind. And we all have friends that are blind to the reality of what's around them, that other people are in the room, other people are hurting, other people need help, other people need some understanding. Other people could use your encouragement or your support. But they're blind to that. It's about me, 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 and my friends. And if you're to watch the entertainment channels and the entertainment magazine covers at the end of the aisles, at the grocery stores, it's all about me for all the role models. It's all about me, showing off my body, showing off my makeup, showing off my face, showing off my new Lamborghini, or showing off, you know, that I'm a tough guy or a tough girl, or, you know, it's all about me. And people are being trained all about me. So that was this generation's fault. The misuse of their mouth and disrespecting of their elders, the self-centered and self-righteous, which ends up making a person blind, very myopic, because they're looking at the wrong things. And then, this is a frightening one, they want a pristine populace. It's almost like they lose sight that there's anybody below them, that there's anybody that would think differently than them. They become elitists, and they look down at you and me because we're the middle class. And they lose sight of the poor and those that are needy. So they are a mindset that says, let's get rid of all these people that cause us problems. Now, I don't know if you've ever went on any of our trips to Poland, but I remember back in the 1980s when I first stepped into the showers at Auschwitz, that was a horrible feeling. And to pull out the drawers of the furnace, horrible. And I remember that afternoon. In fact, it was Evan's mom and dad. We were at Auschwitz together. We had traveled Eastern Europe for 5 weeks. He wasn't even born yet. And talk about being old. I remember leaving this one barracks, and each barracks has a theme to it. And there was one where the whole wall, 60 as long as this wall here, 60 feet long at least, and it was all full of glasses, reading glasses. And it was of people that had been murdered there. Another one was human hair, and showed how they made mattresses and pillows. And then there was this, that one I'd walked through, and then on the very end of the wall there was a box with glass. I thought, I wonder what that is. And I walked over to the end of it, and there's a little doll. I don't know if ceramic's the right word, but it wasn't a plastic doll. It was broken. The head had been whacked, and it was broken, so it was porcelain. Somebody say porcelain? That's what it was. Yes, porcelain. And it had a nice little dress. Of course, it's 40 years old, and it's soiled. And I can just see this little girl just hanging on, this little Jewish girl or Christian girl, going to lose her mommy and daddy and not know where they are, and then they're going to take her. And right below that frame, it said, "And they murdered children, too." Ah, man, I got angry. Then I went outside and then stood underneath the gallows where they hung people. And that afternoon, I made a commitment to God that I'll do whatever I can with my life for you, Lord. I have a wife that will let me spend all my time, whatever I need to do for Jesus Christ. She'll never be selfish and say, you've got to do this or you've got to do that, or I've got to have more of this, or I need a bigger car or house or whatever, that we're sold out to serve Jesus and his people. And I made a commitment that I would fight the devil and hate his guts and his armies to do anything to rescue people that are being hung and gassed and burned every day in the spirit, and they don't even know it because they're blinded and their self is more powerful. So these people of this generation, it's kind of frightening to think there are some pictures of our own self. They want a genetic selection almost, a pure race. And I like what Vance Havner said. We're a befuddled generation. We're sick of old conditions. We're unable to create better, so let's have some change, you know. Too ignorant to explain life. And this man said, I'm a brute, I don't understand God. What's his name? What's his son's name? Too shallow. This is a good one. Too shallow to endure it. We just fall apart when some problems come. Too bitter to enjoy it. Too weak to overcome it. And we're not transformed but conformed to this world. We're slaves of its fashions, disciples of its philosophies, and devotees of its pleasures. And he was talking to a Christian audience when he said that. Think of those words, he said. We're slaves to its fashion. Oh, I got to get one of those. Wow, that's fast. Let me try that. Cool. Wow. Oh, I got to get one of those. Man, that's the latest. Yeah. And we're supposed to be like the Lord, that we're in a war, and we've settled our issue. We're not fighting for ourselves anymore. We've died to self, and he's given us new life. We're fighting for those that are blind around us that can't see. And that comes more from our heart and our life than it does from the words being preached. And I think that's what he's saying. Then verse 15, 16, 17 were a thought pattern. The horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give. never satisfied, the leech sucking the blood out of the horse. And that's, we just know people like that. Tick, 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 tick. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yes, four things say, not enough, it's not enough. Now, isn't it interesting? He likes categories. Two daughters, three things. Now, let's think it over. Four things. His mind's working like yours. So what are these four things in the world that you live in that never say enough? Number one, the grave and the barren womb. Never enough. Number three, the earth that is not filled with water. The deserts, not enough rain, need more water. And number four, the fire that says, not, it's enough. And then the eye that mocks his father and despises to obey his mother, he says, the ravens of the valley shall pick out its eye and the young eagle shall eat it. You know, it's human nature to be takers and not to be givers. That's human. That's us. But here's the great thing, the good news about Jesus when you follow Jesus. It's not easy to follow him. It's not that he's mean or anything. It's just that he'll stop on the road and look at you and smile, and you know that something has to die inside. And you've been holding on to it since you've been 7 years old. And you got to let it go. And that's not easy. Then you say, well, I'm an adult and I'm dealing with this. It's not easy. And he's not making it rough on you. It's just to get into the kingdom, your flesh has to die. And so he changes everything the world has been taught as a lie and says, this is how you live. We've been give, 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 give from Santa Claus on. I want more, 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 more. Satisfy, satisfy, satisfy. Me, 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 me. You know, pat me on the back. Give me good strokes. Make me feel good. Scratch my itching ears. Don't say anything that'll offend me. You know, I'm just made out of cotton candy and fluff. I'll fall over if you give me a challenge or make me stand up to something and not be like the rest of the crowd. Well, before we leave here in a few minutes, let's just take a look at how he thinks differently than our world thinks. Let's turn first to Matthew chapter 10, the 8th verse, and take a look there. Of course, we could make it really simple and just go to the Sermon on the Mount. But for time's sake, let's just take a walk through the scriptures here in the New Testament. Chapter 10, verse 8. To the disciples, he said, go into the city, to the Gentiles. Don't go enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Would you read the next part together? Freely you have received, freely give. See, that's a whole new mindset that came through Jesus. Look at chapter 10, verse 42. He who receives you actually receives me, and who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little kids only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. You know, the people over there in the classrooms at the other end of the campus are probably going to get more rewards than I've gotten in 38 years of ministry. They get here early on Sunday mornings. They fix up their room. They get toys or something or gifts for the children. They pour their hearts out to them. You help a little kid in the name of Jesus? Ho-ho! You just got, if you were an Amway salesperson, you were at the top of the pyramid. So it's giving freely, and it's helping the ones that the world just doesn't really pay too much attention to. Now just jump over to keep in Matthew to the 19th chapter, and let's just take a look right there real quickly before we go. Verse 21, Jesus said to them, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And that young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And the sad thing is, they weren't his possessions. He was their possession. They possessed him.
Let's remember that everything we have, every gift and talent, and even our very next breath comes to us as a gift from God. That's Mike McIntosh bringing to a close today's edition of Chapter and Verse. On our next broadcast, we'll continue our survey of the book of Proverbs as we hear the conclusion to The Words of Agur. In its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and that's why we're devoting 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know that daily schedules can prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the resources link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete teaching through Proverbs, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. We'll return on Monday for more from the Book of Proverbs. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.